from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I don't put this in the nightmare category.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So not everybody is the Dodgers, Mr. Davis.
No.
Is that the breaking
news?
Not
everybody is the Dodgers. Not everybody is swimming in revenue and enjoying the profits of their success on the field. So The Athletic has a very significant story that's going to affect maybe not this season, but certainly the offseason, which – I guess if we're in Chicago, began today, right? We said the Cubs offseason begins now.
Yes.
When you start planning for next season, I think the free agent class of 2024 moving into 2025 is huge. It includes guys like Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, then the pitchers, Gerrit Cole, Corbin Burns, etc., Max Fried. Big names, big contracts. But I think when you look at what's happening now, The Athletic is reporting that, and it's all connected. The Athletic has learned the Major League Baseball and the Players Association have agreed to alter the collective bargaining agreement, the CBA, so that the league can use its portion of competitive balance tax proceeds to give teams losing TV money up to $15 million each, with an estimated limit of $75 million in those payments league-wide. So teams struggling, losing money, because this is all related to the loss of income that we're seeing in with the decline of RSNs,
yes,
and regional sports networks,
right,
and what that means to league's revenue. There are a lot of teams hemorrhaging right now.
Mm-hmm.
Bally's, you see the result of what's going on. We're seeing it, experiencing it here in Chicago. NBC Sports Chicago is going to be obsolete in October. The Chicago Sports Network is coming, but this is all related, Molly, because it affects how much revenue teams have. Why does that matter? Because of what I said coming into this. The free agent flexibility, the free agent class. As one executive, one source has said to me in talking about this, it's going to be a frigid offseason for free agents and player salaries. There are players seeking big salaries, and that affects teams that want to go to free agency to try to improve themselves. That counts for every team in baseball, but especially here in Chicago with the Cubs, potentially the White Sox. But it's going to be a very different scenario heading into the offseason because of what's going on with the RSNs and how that affects teams that typically are used to more profits than they're experiencing.
And I guess on Wednesday, Diamond Sports Group, which carries 12 MLB teams, and their telecast through Bally, has had to ask for another delay in this federal bankruptcy case they're involved in, there is a danger that they're not going to be around beyond 2025. And
right.
we're already seeing
right.
what's going on, as you say, with so many other regional networks yeah. and the Warner Brothers, Discovery, WBD broadcast. So this could get worse before it gets better. And I think I was reading that the Padres, for instance, have gone out and they are starting to do their own thing. And they've got 40,000 subscribers, but they're nowhere near where they were in terms of the revenue they had.
Exactly. So we can talk about the record revenues and how much is being generated, but you're also talking about record losses. Every team is yeah. experiencing this. No, I'm not sure. Maybe not the Dodgers because they got
right.
in. They got the deal when it was great to get those right. kind of deals. But this is experiencing teams league-wide are experiencing this. And the long story short is that budgets will tighten. And when budgets tighten, it affects the balance of power, your ability to compete, your ability to pursue, all of these things. When I cavalierly refer to the Cubs as a big market team acting like it, they're not going to have the autonomy to do so as much as they did.
Well, but the Cubs, as far as we know, they own their own, the marquee television network. I don't know how their revenues are. But they have an ongoing entity that they're at least theoretically was designed to be sort of their own thing, rewarding them with all the money that had previously gone to whether it was the Superstation years ago or
theoretically.
Right.
You're right. Theoretically, the Cubs should not be as affected as some teams.
But the Sox, NBC Sports Chicago is they're broadcast area is leaving,
mm-hmm.
so wouldn't that mean they'd be kind of getting some of this revenue, whatever it is, $15 million?
Up to $15 million. You would assume that there are teams that, like the White Sox, who would be eligible for this kind of payout, and this is a revenue sharing, if you will. I'm not sure if that's the right way to describe it, but they're going to be – they had to adjust the CBA to make this possible because so many teams are in financial hot water. And it is a result of cord cutting. It's a result of a lot of things. Are the Cubs immune to it? I don't think they're immune to it. It just affects them differently. I love the Marquee Sports Network. There's a lot of things I like about it from a Cub fan perspective, but I'm not sure it has created the kind of revenue stream they expected. That's fair to say.
Yeah,
and the Cubs are
don't know.
Maybe not losing as much money, or but they're not making as much as they thought they would as a result of having their own network. So now, all budgets will tighten. It'll affect the free agent marketplace.
I'd still pay top dollar for Juan Soto.
Yeah, you
would. I don't care who you are.
It may affect. You're right. Yeah. I mean, it may affect what the size of the contract is. It won't affect necessarily. How aggressive you want to pursue that, and maybe you draw a hard line in terms of negotiations. But yeah, you might still want to talk to Juan Soto. Yeah, I think you would if you're Jed Hoyer, if he's still there, or if you're Carter Hawkins. We'll talk to him in a little bit.
If he's still there, that prepositional phrase is pretty powerful.
I'm assuming he's still going to be there, but okay. We're getting textures that said, you don't know what you're talking about if you're saying he's still going to be here because he should go. If this season ends up where we think it's going to end up, out of the playoffs, I think Jed will have another offseason to put together
I do too.
A playoff team.
And I think that there is a lot to like about what's going on with the Cubs. I get it. Not on the field right now. But they do have 8 of the top 100 prospects. They do have a lot of players that you could – sort of, if you wanted to, package together, package separately. You could you could tap into that if you felt that you needed to. But I don't know that they need to this trade deadline.
So if I'm a rival general manager and I heard what Jed Hoyer had to say on Monday, and maybe I know this already because of my sources, and if I'm a general manager, I have better sources. I don't need to listen to press conferences, right?
You would hope.
You would hope. I would call Jed Hoyer, and I would ask him about a couple guys. I would ask him, Justin Steele, they're going to laugh, right? Because that's not part of the plan. I would ask him about Christopher Morel. I would wonder
if you were another GM, you would want to trade for Christopher.
I would be curious what it would take because of the potential in him getting hot. If you have a need, yeah, I would wonder if the Cubs would be willing to.
How long would you be a GM if you traded for Christopher Morel?
Depends on what you give up.
Yeah,
I don't know, Molly. I mean, Christopher Morel is pretty streaky.
I get it.
If he got hot.
What's he hitting?
What if the Braves added Christopher Morel to their lineup? Would you feel good if you're a Braves fan? Probably be a little excited. Not if you give if you didn't give up too much. You had oomph to the lineup. I know he's not had so much oomph lately. That's just one guy that came to mind. The point being, Jed Hoyer is in a position to consider things maybe a week ago they didn't hope, they wouldn't have to consider.
I think that's very interesting because the general mood in baseball, from everyone we were hearing, when they went into the break, the All-Star break, they went 7-2 right before the break, and the feeling or the reports were that the Cubs – hadn't decided if they were buyer or seller. They still were making their mind up. But now, having come back from the break and not with an offense, they left the offense on break, they perhaps are now more, there's more clarity on what will happen in their season when your general manager comes out and says, to start the week, well, it's a big week for us. We're going to see what happens. And, it doesn't look like we're going to be adding much beyond for simply this year. We're only going to make moves that would, which makes sense. If you want to go out and get a catcher, get a guy who's going to be here more than 6 months. I understand that idea.
Yeah.
But you're saying effectively, we're not going to find any quick fix here for this year. We're looking down the road. And that's how you kind of announced it. Then you follow that with what's going on here? Yeah, not so much.
Well, I think that...
Then I'd be calling them.
Yeah, I'd be calling them, yeah. Because the final 55 games or so after the trade deadline or whatever will be left after Tuesday, August and beyond, the last 2 months of the season, essentially become for the Cubs the way it was described as spring training 2025.
Yeah.
Spring training hits summer because you start to develop players for next year. So in that context, why wouldn't you want to play Alex Canario or Owen Casey and see what you have for a month of cameo?
Do you anticipate that will happen?
No.
Yeah.
But
I got a hard time.
Now ask me if I think it should happen.
Well,
you know,
well,
it's a different answer.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because I don't think Craig Counsell necessarily wants to manage the Iowa Cubs. And I don't think he's here and you're giving him $8 million to do that. But I do think he is a manager that was brought here to do more with less or do more with more. He hasn't gotten more. The more part didn't come through. We just expect him to do more.
By the way, did you see that Alex Cora reached a contract agreement with Boston? He announced that he signed a 3-year extension. I guess it'll be $21 million. So you've got an $8 million manager. He'll be a $7 million manager. That's going up.
Think about that. Alex Cora, he won a World Series, didn't he?
He did win a World Series.
And he's not worth as much as Craig Counsell. So what did we talk about the other day? We talked about how managers, Craig Counsell effect, might have been the opposite to the marketplace. Alex Cora making less in Boston than Craig Counsell does in Chicago, and he's got a World Series ring?
Yeah.
That tells me the agent didn't have a lot of leverage in making that deal because I don't know.
It's still a lot of money. $7 million's
a lot of money.
Still a lot of
money
a year, but it's not $8 million. I think that's fair.
He's not the highest paid manager in baseball.
No.
And if I'm Alex Cora and I'm a free agent at the end of the year and I have a World Series ring and I'm saying, okay, what are you going to pay me? And they're like, what do you want? I want to be the highest paid manager in baseball.
We can't do that.
Well, then I'm gone. But he's not going to say that because, you know what? You know, nobody else is going to pay
that
him
elsewhere.
That.
Exactly.
The marketplace has shifted.
Let me just pick that apart for 1 second. Are you saying that because of Craig Counsell not having the impact imagined, at least yet, that the price of paying managers will not exceed him?
In other words, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yes, I thought you were saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So Craig Counsell bad for managers, if I'm just
Craig Counsell's 2024 season, the Cubs' 2024 season has not been good for the managerial market, no. And when we combine these two thoughts and stories, essentially, Alex Cora getting paid less than Craig Counsell and The Athletic reporting about how many teams are hemorrhaging to the point where the league is stepping in and dividing their competitive balance tax proceeds to help teams that are losing money, this offseason will not be a good one for managers looking to get paid and for free agents looking to make a fortune.
Yeah.
Because the business of baseball is hurting. And I think when that's the case, you're going to feel it at every level.
I got to tell you, like I would question whether the business of baseball is hurting. Maybe the projected revenue for baseball is hurting. I don't think they're losing money. They're not making as much as they thought. The world's or the All-Star game had record numbers. They had a really good audience tuning in. I think baseball is fairly healthy. Maybe the reach of the executives in terms of profit exceeded where they're at with it. But I don't know that I agree with the idea. But
I want to think about that.
Saying is that if they are not going to get the perceived profit, then that means they're not going to spend the amount of money they thought they were going to spend. So maybe that impacts not just the managerial salary, but player salaries.
Yes.
And that's a fair way of looking at
okay.
it. But I
you hesitate to go as far as I said it's not healthy.
It feels like the game is in a good place. I'm just saying it based on, you know, the kind of a really mediocre.
I reserve the right to revisit this later, okay. Not necessarily today, okay. But I want to think about it. I want to look into it. It is a worthy topic because I have been surprised at how many teams have struggled and how much money has been lost with these regional sports networks failing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that says about the sport as much as it might say about the deals being struck. And I think when you look at the game itself, the popularity of the game, the appeal, the pitch clock, and the way the game has improved, it's more watchable. Is it more profitable? I don't know that for a fact. Because if it were, would they be taking these measures to try to help teams that are struggling to the extent they're struggling?
Well, again, are they about maximizing whatever their individual profit was supposed to be, or is it about the health of the game itself? I think the game is healthy.
Good question.
There is a term that the Irish use, which is called putting on the poor mouth. He's got the poor mouth. What that is sort of exaggerating your circumstances and what you don't have in order to gain advantage or gain more of what you believe you should have. So there could be, it wouldn't stun me to find out that there's that going on in MLB.
Okay.
That's
the
cynic in me. I'm not going to
counter that because I can't with any sort of evidence that counters that effectively. You can be cynical. They've earned that. I wonder though,
seems like they
how
did
bad it's
going to
get.
I don't think there
are a lot of teams are struggling.
I don't think their losses are biblical. Let's put it that way.
I don't know that they're not.
Yeah, I don't know that they're not either. That's fair.
A lot of teams are being affected by this decline, the RSNs and the bankrupt. There's a lot of stuff going on.
To get me to feel bad for you, you're going to have to convince me. I'm going to have to see some actual numbers. Let me look through the
books. Open the books.
That's it. All right, we got Carter Hawk.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's joining us next. We'll talk to him. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Could not be more happy to announce Carter Hawkins as Cubs GM.
Cubs General Manager Carter Hawkins.
I'm so honored to be in this room, to be joining such a historic franchise with such a passionate fan base.
A Vanderbilt grad.
Like every player that goes to college baseball, whether it's Vanderbilt or whether it's a D3, you know, they think they're going to be a professional baseball player. And I did, until David Price walked through the doors. And so started to kind of go through the process of what I wanted to do in my career. And, you know, as I landed on baseball operations as a potential career.
Carter Hawkins talking Chicago Cubs baseball with Mully and Haw.
There's people everywhere. And all I could hear was go Cubs go. Over and over and over and over.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Carter Hawkins, the Cubs general manager, joins us now on The Score Hotline. Carter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it. I'm just curious. You know, we've heard so much, and obviously we've watched some of the struggles and the return to baseball for the post All-Star game. Did that poor homestand, did that set the course for the trade deadline? Did you already know what the course was, or have things changed because of the last two series?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be short-sighted to think that, you know, one or two games or four games are going to necessarily set the course for the season. But I do think that each game gives us a little bit more information about, you know, just the value of wins now versus the value of wins in the future. And certainly, I think, you know, as council has talked about and as Jed has talked about, you know, we put ourselves in a tougher position, and not winning games doesn't necessarily help that.
So, Carter, when you look ahead, then Jed said everything that you do before the trade deadline, at the trade deadline, will be with 2025 in mind. If, in fact, the thought process is all about next season, how likely or how realistic is it to expect maybe one of the top prospects to come up for the final 55 games or so to get a good extended look? Canario, Matt Shaw, Owen Casey, somebody like that, to see how they fare against Major League pitching and begin the developmental process now.
I think that's always a possibility, and certainly something that we're always considering. There's a lot of variables that are super fun to talk about as it relates to that, but with roster status and things of that nature that come into play, and, you know, obviously who's on our roster here come August and September, but definitely not something that we're ruling out, and 100%, you know, those guys, you know, have started to get themselves in the conversation, and obviously Canario already has been up here, and there are absolutely things we'll consider regardless of just where we are here come the next 2 months.
How flummoxed are you or your group by the offensive woes, by the failure to kind of the struggle, let's say, to score runs? How does that impact you guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't use the words flummoxed by any means. I would say, you know, certainly frustrated like everybody is. That's, you know, certainly the guys on the field and you know, the people in the stands that, you know, hey, we know we have that talent that we can certainly score more runs than we are. And it's frustrating that we haven't up to this point. Feel like we can. We'll continue to try to work to get there, but it's baseball. You know, there's ups and downs, and there's noise, and there's hot streaks, and there's cold streaks, and we've had a longer cold streak, and yeah, that's certainly been frustrating.
Carter, there are credible reports that say that Jameson Taillon is the object of the desire of maybe the Red Sox, the Yankees, other teams. Can you help us understand the pros and cons of trading Taillon or even having those conversations? Because again, if everything is about next year, he gives you predictable, solid starter at the top of your rotation. So I wonder about the wisdom of trading him. At the same time, I suppose you always have to listen. Pros and cons for Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how you define credible reports this time of year. There's a lot of really credible reports that are great and credible reports that aren't. And it's always fascinating seeing what comes across the ticker and knowing what's absolutely fantasy and what's not. But yeah, I mean, this is a time of year that the transactions happen, and any time that transactions are happening, you should try to figure out how you can, you know, increase your side of the ledger. And that means you have to be open to all possibilities on both sides. And that's 100% something we're going to do. I think to dismiss any concept out of hand would be short-sighted. If you think you're good at transactions, you should make transactions. If you think you're bad, you should do nothing. And we're certainly not thinking that we're bad here, so we're certainly not going to do nothing in terms of listening to all opportunities.
When we spoke earlier, we talked about this idea of protecting some of the assets that you have. And we know that you guys are loaded in the minor league system. You got 8 of the top 100 from MLB Pipeline. I haven't looked at Baseball America. But the point is simply that you have a lot of really talented young players that are on the way. And I this is a foolish question, but can you have too many? In other words, if you keep acquiring more and more, are you at some point getting to a point where you've got like sort of repeat blocked guys? I know this sounds insane, but at some point do you have to start trading some of those guys? You know what I mean? Like, just being honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, so to be a jerk, we would love to have more good players than less good players. To not be a jerk, I would say, yeah, like up to this point, you know, we have not traded or utilized our young prospects in either deals for other major leaguers or by other than Pete bringing them up to the major leagues to start, you know, basically utilizing their value. And as these guys are starting to get closer to, you know, double A, triple A, big leagues, and as we're getting into our window here, I think that's something that we have to start considering a little bit more. And, you know, we did not do that the last 3 off seasons by any means, but I think we're certainly getting closer to that. And yeah, definitely it's, you know, we're trying to start really putting more value on the field here at Wrigley. And that's something we'll be considering.
We're joined by Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins, who is here for Paws Chicago, whose mission is to build no-kill communities to end overpopulation of homeless animals and to transform animal welfare. So, Carter, Hector Neris is somebody else that a lot of teams might be interested in talking to you about because of his experience and because of where you are in the standings. Just wonder, he also has a clause, as you well know, that if he has so many appearances, it triggers an option. He has 21 left, I think, before he hits that trigger. Does any of that come up, or how much does that come up or is considered when considering whether or not to deal him, whether or not to pitch him? How does that factor in now for a season that seems lost?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't agree with the last sentence you had there, but in terms of decisions that we're making, you know, that's not a conversation that Counts and I or Counts and Jed are having around, you know, contract status as we're considering our lineups and our bullpen usage on a day-to-day basis. You know, I think anybody that's acquiring any player is thinking about their contract status and what the effect of that is on their teams both now and in the future. And Hector's no different than any other pitcher that way. So yeah, I mean, it's a part of Hector. It's a part of every pitcher. And I think that's just a general conversation that you have.
I'm curious, how do you determine that you're entering your window? Is it the amount of good young pitchers you have coming up? What is the determining factor when you say that as you enter your window?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the marginal value of a win, right, not to get too technical, but you know, if you're a 72 win team and you're trying to add three wins, I'm not sure that's going to necessarily add much to the reality of you making the playoffs or winning the World Series. But as you get closer to those playoff type teams, is in terms of just what your true talent is, what your projected levels are, those wins start to really matter. And I think we're getting into that place, and that's exciting. It's certainly frustrating this year that up to this point we have not played to our projections, but we feel like we should have good playoff caliber teams here for the next several years, and you know, that means that the present becomes even more valuable.
Were you more amused or annoyed at the suggestion of Justin Steele getting traded or being part of trade conversation? He was asked about it. It has been out there. But as you said, not all the reports are credible. Just wondered what your reaction was to that suggestion.
Yeah, neither. I think it's the same thing that we're talking about, which is, you know, transactions are happening. Any opportunity you have to increase your side of the ledger, you should at least listen to. And, you know, that could be any player on your 26-man or 40-man or 180-man minor league roster. And so that's just the time of year. I mean, I would be surprised if not every single player that's providing any sort of major league value is not asked about over the course of the next week. It's just the nature of it. Some of those get in the media, some of those don't, but it just happens.
If we give you a list of, like, let's say 10 transactions proposed, could you tell us which ones are credible?
I'll tell you that probably nine of them are not. I can guarantee you that.
You're looking ahead, Carter. We just talked about what's going on in the business of baseball and how the Athletic has a report this morning about MLB and the Players Association agreeing to alter the CBA so that the league can use a portion of its competitive balance tax proceeds to give teams that are losing money up to $15 million each because of all of the ways that RSNs and the decline of that and it has changed the financial structure for a lot of teams. How significant is that, and how will it affect potentially free agency in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit out of my purview and a little hard to say just exactly how significant, you know, those dollars are or what those dollars are and who they're going to. You know, I think anytime money's coming into the system, it affects the economics of the system. But there's monies in a lot of different places that are coming in that affect the supply and demand of free agency and all those other things. So, yeah, I think it'll have effect. To what extent it does and to how that compares to other effects that will be happening this offseason, I couldn't say.
It's difficult to talk about a lot of the positives, but you've had a couple of really good positives. You know, Michael Busch is not only doing a really solid job with the bat, but he's improving defensively. Obviously, Shota has exceeded any expectations that people may have had. Maybe not you, but certainly most people when he was signed. There are some real bright spots here that we don't spend much time on.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, basically two new additions to this team from last year's team that, you know, there's obviously Almonte who got hurt, but, you know, and Neeris, but Bush and Imanaga were the two big ones that we came that weren't on the team last year, and they performed really, really well and helped us win more baseball games. So certainly excited about that, but figuring out how to put the whole picture together and win more games than we have is the key, and that's something that we're obviously thinking about every day and we've got to figure out how to get the guys that we have here already playing really well for next year and figure out what additions we can make to get it even better.
I won't call it a lost season again, but if you are looking ahead to 2025, I'm just curious, for the remainder of this season, what is Kyle Hendricks' role? And if he is unlikely to be a part of the future, perhaps, does that affect the way that he is used?
Yeah, and I would take one step back on, you know, some of Jeff's comments last week. You know, I think what he was saying was we're not going to do anything that only helps 24. So, you know, it's not just looking towards 25. It's just trying to figure out how do we do things that don't only help 24 just with the position that we're in. With regards to Kyle, I mean, Kyle obviously is an absolute stalwart of the rotation and of this club and represents so many unbelievable things about the Cubs. And you know, I think we're always going to have the opportunity for starting pitcher innings. I think any club does, and we're ecstatic that he is been able to throw the ball the way that he has the last few weeks, and it's just been an unbelievable thing to watch him, you know, fight through some adversity here over the course of the year at this point in his career and do it the way that he did it. And it's, you know, I'll stop short of saying it's inspiring, but it's pretty cool to see. And, you know, he'll be a big part of the next couple months for sure.
Is there anything that that you look at this team and say, we've got to get done? We have to do this or that in order to make this season more successful?
Yeah, we got to get better. We got to figure out how to score more runs. We got to figure out how to prevent more runs. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. And, you know, that'll be our focus. It's not going to be a particular trade or particular type of run created or type of run saved. It's all over and trying to figure out that. And if we do that, we're going to be in a pretty good place.
Carter, thanks a ton. It's great catching up with you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Carter.
Always. Thanks, fellas.
That's Carter Hawkins, Cubs general manager. Interesting. All right, we've got David Braun's going to join us.
College
next.
Football.
We're going to talk to the Northwestern head coach. We got to map out a show trip to a game. I mean, it's going to be fantastic.
Well, we better get seats now because there's only 15,000 of them.
I know. Well, we know a guy who knows a guy. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Meow.
What the hell?
Cats.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 of the Score. We're delighted to welcome in Northwestern football coach David Braun, fresh off a remarkable season and getting ready for an even more kind of bizarre one, fresh off meeting some of the other new coaches. I mean, my God, four new teams in the conference. David, welcome to the show. He's on the Score hotline. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate talking to you, and we're looking forward to another season with the Cats. How crazy is it that and I know you knew it's coming, and we knew what was happening and who the teams were, but gosh, there's something about seeing a duck in the water in Indianapolis that threw me for a loop.
It's, I'll tell you what, it's pretty wild. You know, I mean, sitting in meetings this past spring and, you know, 18 head coaches and, you know, schools that span the entire country. You know, it's going to be really exciting for our programs. You know, the Big Ten has always been a phenomenal conference. The competition level is only getting more difficult. You know, there's some travel ramifications and logistics to work through, right. But my gosh, you know, I would argue it's the best conference in college football and a great stage and great opportunity for our guys to be put on full display and have competitive weeks week in and week out.
What a difference a year makes, David, because you were thrust into the job, a lot coming at you in terms of that crisis. You handled it the way you handled it. Your back was against the wall, and you came out punching, and you were the Big Ten Coach of the Year. Congratulations. Now you have the weight of those expectations. I don't know if it's heavy or not, but how different is the challenge when you are expected maybe to maintain the success that you achieved last year?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really unique. I mean, so much of last year was just taking it one day at a time and, you know, just being there to support our guys and our program. And, you know, to our guys' credit, they banded together and, you know, like you said, our backs were against the wall and, it galvanized the team. We battled our tails off, found a way to, you know, really improve each and every day. And, you know, on the back end of the season, really caught a hot streak, which was so fun to be a part of. And, you know, I think that's the challenge moving forward is as much as we can, you know, be proud of what this team achieved last season. This is a new collection of guys. There's new coaches. This group, this 111 guys that we have on the roster and this staff, this group hasn't achieved anything yet. You know, we have to keep that chip on our shoulder. We have to keep that edge. And, you know, we just have to take one day at a time. We're a developmental program. You know, we're going to have to find ways to win in the fourth quarter, play complementary football, find a lot of different ways to win games. And, you know, we're going to have to do that by developing every single guy on this roster.
I've seen the you know, just the drawings and the diagrams of what it's going to look like at Martin Field, I guess they're calling it. That's the on-campus area overlooking Lake Michigan. It looks like it's going to be fantastic, but obviously quite an intimate setting. And we know that the stadium is being rebuilt and it'll be back for 2026. Is there a chance there are two games scheduled for Wrigley Field? I read Jim O'Donnell saying that maybe you could play another one there, depending on how the Cubs work out this year. How malleable are plans for the schedule with the stadium gone and the 15,000 seat area available to you?
No, the plan is to play five games on the lakefront and okay. Two at Wrigley. We're thrilled about both. Tickets have gone on sale. Our team that works in ticketing and development has done such a good job of really bringing our fan base together, creating excitement. All involved in this project have really, thought thoroughly through what this is going to look like for our fan base, for our season ticket holders, for our students being right here on campus. I mean, that was such a priority to us. We have something so exciting to look forward to in 2026 with the new Ryan Field, but how do we build momentum into that? And being on campus five times and really being able to engage our students and really have home games, especially for our juniors and seniors in their last couple years, it's going to be really unique. To your point, I like the word intimate. It's going to be exciting. We should be able to create a home field advantage. And, at the end of the day, it'll be imperfect, but it's going to be ours, and it's something that I know as it's getting built and our guys are working out on Martin Field for their summer workouts, you can just tell that there's an excitement building within our team about having an opportunity to play right here on campus.
Well, you're used to those kinds of crowds and that kind of stadium. I mean, whether it's North Dakota State, Winona State, Northern Iowa, this is more conducive or what you're used to, David. I also wonder this, because of it's a very unique situation, but if it's something that you believed in enough, according to a report that you donated some of your own money, you and your wife pledged some money toward the stadium project, is that accurate, and what compelled you to do so?
It is accurate. It was just one of those things, as it became very clear that that this was a possibility, it's something that we could pull off. There's certainly some financial ramifications that come up with such a short-term project like this, and I was speaking pretty boldly about, my support and conviction that this was in the best interest of, our student athletes, our students here on campus, our campus community, all our stakeholders. And then, Kristen and I are out for dinner one night. And, it's just one of those things, if you're going to speak with such conviction and such passion about something, as a family, we just decided to put our money where our mouth was. And, it's only a small part of that, but hopefully it was a sign that, if I'm going to speak that boldly, if as a family we're going to support that way, we better be willing to back it financially as well.
When we think about the success that you guys had last year and sort of the unexpected success, if you will, just given the sudden change, obviously things had to feel, you're coming off a pretty bad season and things – You managed to communicate with your players. You managed to bring that team together. That team was better than the individual parts, if I might say that. And I think it's a real tribute to the job you did. How much different or how much easier will this be? Or is it once again sort of balancing all the different roles that you have to put together?
I think it's really just a brand new challenge. And, last year I was calling the defense. You're taking it one day at a time. You're trying to figure out how to be a head coach. I'm still trying to figure out how to be a head coach with all the things that come across your desk. But at the end of the day, what it really comes down to is a bunch of people, in this program, checking their ego at the door, going to work and putting at the forefront of all our decision-making, what's in the best interest of our guys to put them in situations to have a great experience and thrive on Saturdays and some Fridays this year. But, you said it perfectly. When the Cats are at their best, we play great team football. We're better together. We certainly have some really, really good players, but know, some of the guys that really contributed heavily late in the season were guys that we did not anticipate playing a ton of football for us. But they continued to improve. They stepped up. We played with depth. We complimented one another in all three phases. I mean, Utah, we win a game 14-7. The Illinois game looked very different. You know, we were struggling to stop those guys defensively, and our offense stepped up. There were special teams plays that played a role. And, you know, for us, it can't be about, you know, just highlighting individuals. We got to play team football. And, you know, the one thing that this team needs to embody is no one expects us to have success in this new Big Ten, and that's okay. We don't care what anyone else thinks. All that matters is what we're doing within the program and make sure that we embody that edge and, you know, carry a chip on our shoulder and show up every weekend, you know, ready to, you know, bring on the competition and find a way to win games in the fourth quarter.
Offensively, Cam Porter is back for his fifth season. You know a lot about him. Mike Wright, your quarterback, you don't necessarily know a lot about him on the field. This is his third stop from Vanderbilt to Mississippi State to now Northwestern. That's the way college football works these days. What can we expect from Northwestern offensively?
You know, at the end of the day, it does start with the run game. That doesn't mean that we don't anticipate being explosive in the passing game and utilizing Bryce Kurtz and A.J. Henning and the guys on the perimeter. But, you know, I tell our guys frequently, you know, explosiveness is a result of efficiency. We have to be efficient in our run game. We have to be efficient in our passing game, take what the defense is giving us, force defenses to really start to load the box. And that's where, you know, explosive plays can really start to show up on the perimeter and in the drop-back pass game. Cam Porter is going to lead that room. He is just such a model of everything that we stand for in terms of the way he carries himself, the way that he works, the selfless leader that he is. And, you know, there's other guys in that room, and Joe Hyman and Caleb Komolafe that we're really excited about. You know, and then, you know, at the quarterback position, Jack Lausch had a great spring, really developed, brought in Mike Wright. You know, Northwestern heavily recruited Mike out of high school, high character, great team guy. He's already started to really fit in with our team in a short time over the summer workouts. Excited about what Mike brings to the table. You know, excited for Mike and Jack to duke this thing out and compete throughout fall camp, and really confident that, you know, Zach Lujan is going to do a great job with that entire room and make sure that we're developing our quarterbacks and, you know, creating depth in that room.
David Braun. David, thank you. Always a joy to catch up with you. Congratulations on everything that's going on, and we look forward to another fun year.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you so much, guys.
That is David Braun, Northwestern coach. Come on. You got
to
love that.
I love talking to college football coaches.
Oh, it's just crazy.
It's ready to go that time of year. You know,
they're gonna, I'm telling
8-5 last year.
They can create a very unique and helpful home field advantage at that place.
When you saw what the Northwestern students did to turn Welsh Ryan Arena into the kind of place and atmosphere it did and become, you wonder about what that could do on a Saturday if Northwestern's any good.
All right, we're gonna keep it going. The Olympics are coming. The Olympics start when? Friday, right?
I think they started.
Are we not going to? They did
opening
start.
Ceremonies. You're going to have your fancy French dinner and watch opening ceremonies.
I'm going to eat like a Frenchman.
Yes, you are.
Can't wait. Mully and Haw.
Maragos is next from
NBC5. Alex Maragos joins us next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.